Hey everybody, it's your host, Isaac Weisop, host of Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. And today we're going to have a short, supplemental, emergency broadcast. Well, emergency makes it sound important. It's not that important. But today we're going to talk about the Tokyo opening ceremony. And to be honest, I thought we were going to have a lot more to talk about, but we don't. We certainly don't. I have two images to discuss with you, and of course I will have them on Instagram, at Isaac Weisop, like and subscribe. Everyone's liking and subscribing, why don't you? You can see pictures of me with my outtakes from watching the Olympic ceremony, but if you gotta hurry to do it, it's on there before I take it down. But yeah, this is, I don't know. I don't get these Olympics opening ceremonies. I don't get why people like them so much. But hey, you know, I've been watching them for the last 11 years. And when I see symbolism, I report it. And there was a big one with the London Olympics. They had the big virus particles. Oh boy, that one was crazy. In fact, maybe we should do a show on that sometime. About the NHS or whatever they call it over there. Chasing the kids around with the big virus particles, and here comes J.K. Rowling reading Harry Potter. My goodness. But today, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the Tokyo Olympics. There's actually more controversy leading up to it than there was during the game, during the performance. Because, you know, the ceremony was conducted inside the stadium. There was barely anybody there. It was mostly just like news and dignitaries, no fans. And it's funny because now the Olympics aren't as popular. Now people are like, well, interest in the Olympics is waning. Like, no. The economic interest is waning because Tokyo is losing millions and millions of dollars. Billions, dare I say, billions of dollars. Because you can't have the crowds because of the virus, right? And unfortunately for the Olympic athletes, you know, this comes down to dollars. It's all about money. It's not really about showcasing your athletic abilities. It's about drawing in a crowd that will boost the local economy. And now that Tokyo is losing a ton of money, now it's like, oh my God, maybe we shouldn't do this anymore. Let's talk about, before we get in, you know, I got to really hype this up because I only got two images to talk about. So let's preamble for 5 minutes. Listen to the people that put this opening ceremony together. I feel like they axed out a bunch of the stuff that they were planning, I'm going to guess. Because I thought this was going to be like, wild is what I thought in my head, in my dumb head. But NBC News, I'm going to read you from this article. The Japanese musical maverick who composed some of the score for the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Olympics has apologized after revelations that he bullied disabled classmates recently resurfaced. The composer, Kaigo Oyamada, also known as Cornelius, boasted to Japanese magazines in the 1990s about how he had tormented fellow students. The boasts came back to haunt him less than a week before the games are to kick off on Friday. Back in the 1990s, when his star was still on the rise, Oyamada, now 52, I mean, this is 30 years ago, okay, he recalled in interviews with local music magazines that he would, among other things, force a mentally disabled boy to eat his own feces and masturbate in front of other students. These reflections were not looked back on regretfully, but instead were seen as funny childhood moments, the popular blog Arama Japan wrote. He spoke of them in a boastful nature. So there you go. Oh my God. And like, some people would say, and me included, would say like, well, look, cancel culture, take it easy. This is 30 years ago. It was probably an entirely different human being. But, I mean, that's pretty extreme. A mentally disabled boy eating his own feces and masturbating? That's like evil. What's wrong with this guy? And he was in his 20s when he did it. Yikes. So yeah, that guy, he was part of the creation of the opening ceremony. And then there's more, but wait, there's more from New York Post. The director of the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Olympics was fired Thursday for making jokes about the Holocaust in a 1998 comedy show. Kentaro Kobayashi, a comedian, was dismissed one day before the opening ceremony of the pandemic-delayed games for the skit in which he said, "Let's play Holocaust." Footage of the act began circulating on the internet earlier Thursday. In a statement to the Japan Times, Rabbi Abraham Cooper, Associate Dean and Global Social Action Director of Simon Wiesenthal Center, said, quote, "Any person, no matter how creative, does not have the right to mock the victims of the Nazi genocide." Now, this is where I, you know, obviously in poor taste, right? But, like, you know, stand-up comedy is all about pushing the boundaries. Way different scenario here than with the guy who was, like, bullying this mentally disabled kid. Like, that's not funny. Like, that's evil. And sure. But again, like, you got to go with the times, right? In the 90s, like, it was all about, like, shock value. We were a much more brazen culture back then. I know. I was around for it. So, like, I don't agree with them canceling this guy, but I do. I'm okay with them canceling the guy picking on the mentally disabled. So, hey, there you go. There's my opinion. There's my two cents. But, and, you know, like, sure. You know, and what would we do in Isaac's great world? I would make that director guy, the comedian dude, I'd say, look, you need to make a public apology and let him do it and good enough. Or don't even apologize. Make a statement. Say, look, it was the 90s. It was a different time. I was 30 years younger. At the time, we pushed the boundaries. We pushed the envelope. And that was in poor taste. Or maybe not. Maybe say, it was funny back then. I don't think you shouldn't. I think everyone. The Rabbi Abraham Cooper says, any person, no matter how creative, does not have the right to mock the victims of the Nazi genocide. I disagree. You have the right to mock anyone you want. Anyone. You want to mock the mentally disabled guy? Go for it. Like, I think that's in poor taste, and that would really disgust me. But you do, in fact, have the right to mock anyone. Right? I don't know. Weird dance we're playing here with the cancel culture. Like, in some ways, I, you know, like, going back to the guy picking the bully and the mentally disabled, like, I'm cool with them firing him. Like, I'm like, yeah, he probably deserves that. That's pretty awful. But, like, these are all subjective things, right? Like, what's offensive to you? What's offensive to me? And then that plays into the stories in your head. And I'm actually doing a show on Inside the Mind of a Conspiracy Theorist, where we're going to talk about automatic negative thoughts. And it ties into Buddhism philosophy. Ties into the idea of creating your own reality. That's only available on my Rockfin channel. Link in the show notes. Like and subscribe. You'll get all the things on Rockfin. Rockfin.com/creator/Isaac. But yeah, that fits into all this. It's like, these are all stories, right? Like, maybe one thing triggers. Like, I had a friend. I call him a friend. It's not like we were hanging out, but a mentally disabled guy in high school that I, you know, looking back on it, I sympathized for him, which, you know, in my own head, not verbally with him, I sympathized for him because he was severely mentally disabled, and it put clarity to my life, and I thought, man, I really got it easy, you know, this poor guy, and I've always had a soft spot for the mentally disabled, you know, so like, but that's my story. That's the story in my head. And then I think, well, the Holocaust victim, whatever. Poor taste, but maybe it was funny back in the 90s. But like, I don't have a Jewish heritage. Those people would have the story that's like, that's completely offensive. Cancel this person out of existence. But what do we do in a society like that? Okay, there you go. I told you I'd preamble for 5 minutes. Let's get into the symbols. First, one of two symbols. The whole thing kicks off with a cube. Yes, a cube. The Saturnian cube. And then, of course, it zooms out and you see multiple three-dimensional platonic solids. But yeah, the symbol of the cube, that is the symbol of the earthly realm, right? The I've got a whole article. I'll try to remember to put a link in the show notes. Decoding Illuminati symbolism, Saturn and the black cube. Okay, we talk about many elements of this. Many elements. And ironically, we talked about Carl Jung and the mandala, which was another symbol we caught. In fact, let's just go into it. Let's just knock it out. Let's knock out both symbols right now. Because then a little bit later, there's a section where they use string to represent the heart and the body and the flow of chi and all that stuff. And from my perspective, I saw a mandala, which ties into the cube. So there's two symbols for the similar concept. Now, what are we talking about with all this? Well, let's look to, there's a book I've got called Symbols of the Goddess by Claire Gibson. This is what Claire Gibson says. That Jung and Freud, they were studying symbolism, dreams, symbols, and the power to evoke energies and influence our actions from those things. Because they thought that you would use symbols to interact with the conscious and the subconscious realms. Jung had a rationale for that. He tried to make this like a scientific study. He was studying various cultures and mythologies of the world, and he noticed all these overlaps where there were similar symbols. And for instance, there was therapeutic sessions in Greece and Rome where the clients would spontaneously draw trees and mandalas, which he says this is the symbol for the tree of life, the axis mundi, which ties into the Hermetic axiom, as above, so below, connecting the underworld to the cosmos. The idea that we are all connected in this universal consciousness thing. Hermetic action, meaning going back to Hermes or Thoth, right? The Egyptian god who taught magic to man. Alchemy, the powers of alchemy. Creating a new reality. Which, if you want to assign a conspiracy to this opening ceremony, that might be symbolically what they're trying to show us. They're trying to create the new reality, the new normal, the great reset, all that stuff. And in the book, Jung, he's talking about universal archetypes that fit into this collective unconscious. Now, what is that? Because a lot of people listening are probably like, I don't even know what that means. Well, let me help you. Let me guide you. Let me be your hermit to shine the lantern. Jung believed in three parts of the mind. You had the conscious mind, that's the ego. You had the personal unconscious. And then the collective unconscious. And the symbols manifest from the collective unconscious. Which is this, it's like the global consciousness. It's the shared human experience that we all intuitively know about going back to the primordial formative events of human history. Examples. Examples they give in the book, the sun and the moon is a symbol that we all resonate with. It's the same as male or female, the anima or animus, which are the archetypal forms for male and female. These are all universally agreed upon symbols of opposing forces, of duality. There's other archetypes, and we talked about this in the Star Wars conspiracy, the book that I wrote on the Star Wars, with, talk about Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey and all that. But the other archetypes would be like the mother, the father, the trickster. And the idea is that there's dreams. And when you have dreams, symbols are the unconscious effort to bring attention to the conscious mind. Something important. Some archetypal idea. So when you see it on the television, when millions of people are watching this and focused on it, then you've got something there. What are they doing? They're trying to bring this idea of the mandala, the Saturn cube, the new reality, the idea of as above, so below. They're trying to bring that into the conscious manifestation. And then more specific, they go into more details on this. Like the moon, for instance. It says, when we view a symbol, say an image of the moon, we recognize it on a conscious level, equating it to the astral body that shines at night. But our collective unconscious transcends such superficial connotations. In accordance with a more profound metaphysical response, it associates the symbol of the moon with the tides, water, feminine fertility, and at the same time, coldness, death, the underworld. And thus, since all of these are her attributes, with the goddess. Bringing us back to the title of the book, Symbols of the Goddess. Says that symbols are the best way to express abstract supernatural concepts. And that's exactly what they do here. Now, in the Hindu symbology, the mandala represents order in the universe, and again, the balance of opposites, like the moon and the sun, maybe. But the cube, you know, this goes way back to the first secret society created by Pythagoras, who was synthesizing beliefs of the occult ideas in Mesopotamia and Egypt and Greece, Rome, all that stuff. That's why the square is a sacred symbol by the Freemasons. That's why the worshipful master stands upon it, upon the cube. It's the building block of nature. They know that to build reality, this element of Saturn, of the cube, it starts here on Earth with the mind of the magician who can, as above, so below, again, linked to the cosmos, projects the will, projects the idea, and then it manifests into reality. Sounds crazy. Sounds crazy. It's also symbolic of Saturn, which, you know, isn't necessarily the ideas here, but Saturn is representative of the first stage of alchemy, of the Negredo, the great work, which if you want to tie this to like a globalist idea, which I know a lot of you do, I know my conspiracy people, you say, Isaac, this is all about the Great Reset, about Santa Claus Schwab. You did 6 shows on the Great Reset, and you're working on a 7th, Isaac. That's what it's all about. The new normal. And I wouldn't disagree with you. You might be right. Yeah, it's all about manifesting the new reality. That's what Saturn's all about. It's about the great work, accomplishing the great work. And what's the great work? It's, you know, Santa Claus telling you how much meat you can eat, how much air you can breathe, putting your natural resources on the blockchain. Oh my God, are they doing all this? Yes, they are. That's the fantasy. They want to make the perfected reality for them. And they're showing you this at the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. So there you go. That's what you saw. I will put the images on the Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. Link in the show notes. And you can check it out for yourself. It was the very first image was the Saturnian cube. The very first thing. Right out the gate. Nothing happened before that. And then after that, the attention waned. It got really boring. I fell asleep a few times, as you can see on Instagram. More upsettingly, I couldn't listen to the new Kanye West album. I was looking for Donda. Couldn't find it. Doesn't exist. What's real? What's not real? You know, Kanye West talked about how symbols control us back in one of his rants many years ago. And that's what they're doing. They're controlling us. They're manifesting reality through the conscious. And this time of the Saturnian cube, of the great work, the new normal. Welcome, my friends. Hey, everybody, this is Isaac. I have to insert this after the fact because I forgot to mention something that happened towards the end of the opening ceremony. We had the traditional torch-carrying event, the torch relay. Now, if you're not familiar, I talk about this every time we do the Olympics, but there's a ritual they do, a pagan ritual at that, a literal pagan ritual that we all make light of, like it's not a big deal, to pay homage to the gods going back to Olympia. Because, you know, like everything else, it's all tied to the ancient Romans and the Greeks and the gods and all this sort of occult ideas. And it goes, they actually take, the ritual requires they take the flame from Olympia, Greece, to wherever the venue is in the entire world. And they show that. They showed us how that happened during the Olympics this year, of course. They'll fly it across the ocean, but they'll run it, you know, on land, and then they'll fly it over the ocean. And they will, this is started by the Nazis. Because the Nazis were, again, an occult group focused on paying homage to the pagan gods. They started this in the 1936 Berlin Games. And what they did was they carved Olympic rings into a monument in Delphi, Greece, which you saw this year. They actually showed Delphi, the Oracle at Delphi with the goddesses, in order to commemorate these occult practices. But this stone called the Carl Diem Stone, named after the Nazi who designed it, is still there and still commemorated to this day. So there you go. They did that. They didn't let a little virus stop them from doing all that this year. They did this back in... they're very weird about this whole thing. Back in 2014 in Sochi in Russia, they took it into space, to the space station, if you believe in the existence of such thing. But actually, I know somebody who carried the torch during the Salt Lake City Olympics. She has like a framed thing they gave her of, I believe it was a piece of the actual torch. That was kind of interesting. But yeah, this is a ceremony to the pagan religion of old. Much like when you go to Washington, D.C., you'll notice all the pagan gods and everything. Because like the argument, the conspiracy theory is that to this day, these Illuminati insiders still pay homage to the pagan gods. Also, there was one more piece of symbolism I caught watching the tail end after the opening ceremony. They did the parade and then they did a bunch of stuff. But there was one shot I caught that I added to the Instagram pictures there with the stadium, and inside the stadium the lights are presented in such a way such that they form an X, and you know where we're going with this, with the X over the O. Shout out Freeman Fly. I'll put a link to my article on the Mark of the Beast, but the X and the O is what Kenneth Grant described as the Mark of the Beast, calling upon, again, the gods, Nodens, Typhon, from the abyss. And if you think that's crazy, like, let's tie this all into the Nazis, right? Like, that's what the V, right? Crowley taught Churchill to use the V to charge the opposing pagan forces from the Nazi swastika. So you can see things haven't changed all that much, right? The Nazi scientists are getting us back into space and all this stuff. Well, it's like all of this pagan occult stuff lies underneath. Like Cthulhu, it lies in waiting to resurface. Stay subscribed to the show. I'm going to drop a Great Reset number 7. I'm working on it. I mean, this might be a month or two. The working title is Great Reset 7, The New Normal. Dun, dun, dun. Because I'm seeing all the things happen that we were told would never happen as conspiracy theorists. Well, you're crazy. You're crazy. Alex Jones is crazy. Well, it's all making sense now. It's all making sense. They censor all the conspiracy people off of Google, off of YouTube. Alex Jones got it the worst. They kicked him off of everything. Apple Podcast, even. And what's the term you say? The sword of Damocles is hanging over my head. Are they going to kick me off? Maybe. That's when you know it's real. If they remove all my stuff from existence, if you don't see me on the internet or socials or Amazon or Audible anymore, you'll know it's time to run for the hills. Go to Idaho, get your little cabin, Hide your wife, hide your kids. But I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live with the black pill. So there you go. We'll see what happens. So that's what I've got in the works. What else do I got in the works? I'm working on a presentation. You hear me I'm trying to fill up the time here. There wasn't a lot to talk about. FanX in Salt Lake City. Should it continue to go on as planned if the dreaded Delta variant doesn't take over? September, Friday and Saturday, I'll be there. September 17th and 18th. I'll be there one of those days. Don't know which. I'll be doing a presentation. But I'll be there for 2 days signing books at a little table. You can come get yourself a book. And if you're nice, I'll take a picture with you. Whatever you want. I aim to please. But that's the plan. Don't hold me to it, because like I said, a lot can happen between now and then. They might shut it all down. Who knows? So there you go. Hope you have a great weekend. I hope that was a fun show for you. Talked about the symbolism of the conscious and unconscious and Tokyo Olympics. And oy vey, it's going down. All right, everybody. Go to Instagram, check out my images, like and subscribe. Link in the show notes as always. Thank you for your time. Stay woke.